all that matters.
Yeah. Hey, man. How's your summer?
Hey, man. Pretty good.
Yeah?
Pretty good.
Yeah. What have you been doing? Because Mr. Summers are crazy.
Yeah, so let's see. When did we last talk?
It was like the end of, middle end of May.
Okay, so we had Opportunity Camp, and we...
What did you call
did it? It's called Opportunity Camp. It's it's a camp for low-income families and foster kids in our area.
Wow.
Yeah, that was fun.
Is that something you guys do every year?
It's something we've done the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And then we had camp, and camp was good. Our theme was Come and See.
Okay.
And so we did the whole life of Jesus from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm. And you got the whole thing in a week.
Yeah. And so, you know, we skipped some stuff.
Yeah, well, so does the Bible.
Yeah.
Like 30 years.
So, yeah, so we did that.
You're like, I don't think your joke's funny, Chris.
Some stuff worked. We did the same theme for both high school and junior high, and so some stuff worked 1 week that didn't work the next, and vice versa.
Yeah.
And then I took my seniors on a rafting trip, and so we rafted down the American River. And now we are getting ready for the fall, and I'm really excited. Our fall series for Sunday nights is going to be a zombie-based thing called The Havoc. It's based off of a book called The Teenage Survival Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. It's like this, it's a devotional book for teenagers, and so I took 12 lessons. I took 12 devotionals and turned them into lessons, and next week I'm meeting with another youth minister and a student who's gonna record these journal entries. So each week we'll have like a zombie-based game, and then we'll listen to the journal, and we'll kind of like immerse ourselves into this world of like this storytelling and how to survive in the world. And so, I'm excited about that. Like that's gonna be fun. I was gonna do like some decoration and like get some stuff for that, but I don't think I'm gonna do that now, mainly to save budget on other important things.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm working on. I'm working on the fall calendar. And, you know, I've kind of gotten to this point where, in terms of calendaring, I'm in a rhythm where I know what I want for our group and for our kids. And I try to do different things, but also there are some normal things that are just kind of central to who we are, and so.
Yeah. No, that's cool. That's fun. We're actually, in a few weeks here, less than a month here, going to do our third annual Austin Mustard Seed Memorial. Is it Memorial Day or Labor Day? Labor Day, right?
Yeah.
Third annual Austin Mustard Seed Labor Day Eve cookout.
Labor Day Eve cookout.
Yeah, because Labor Day Eve, you know, a lot of people have the next Monday off. And nobody ever, like, plans for a Monday off or Sunday night. So it's like this freebie, and you feel, like, fun and free and footloose. So we'll probably swim somewhere. But, yeah, it's our third, which is mind-blowing. We did our first as part of a recruiting, like, meeting people hoping to build a team. And then last year we had kind of our first one as a church, and this is our third, which is kind of mind-blowing, but it's also cool to have those regular things that are just like, this is what we do, this is kind of our life together.
Cool.
And it does make planning, like you said, a lot easier. Like you know, we've been at this for almost 2,000 years. I mean, there's only so many things that we do.
Right.
Let's not make this too complicated, people. Well, man, your summer sounds super fun so far. Do you consider your summer over? Like, has school started?
School has started for some of our students, but it doesn't really start back for the rest of them until the 12th. So, I consider our summer pretty much over. We have a Nerf Fiesta coming up this Friday. Yeah, we're going to eat Mexican food and shoot each other with Nerf guns.
For Jesus.
You know, I'm just doing it because it's fun.
There you go.
It makes memories, you know.
Yes.
God wants us to have fun.
Yeah, that's enough. Love it. That's awesome, so, dude.
Yeah. And then next week we're going to, like, a ports game. But, like, that's a church-wide event. So I have no responsibilities other than, you know, taking my kid and my wife and doing kid-wife things. And
it's awesome.
It's nice. It's fun. Yep. So you guys, how was your summer?
So far, it's been really hot. And, like, I don't know. Like, how hot is it over there right now?
Well, today it's not hot at all. It's like maybe the 80s. It's been last week. It was in like last week. It was in like the hundreds. Okay, so this is a freak cold front that's moved in.
Church stuff has been good. May was really hard. I don't know if this will be normal for us. You know, this is our second summer as a church community, but it feels like, you know, cities are transitory places. People come and go, and and it feels like, for whatever reason, last summer and this summer, we've both had times where we're saying goodbye to people who've been part of our community for a while. And so that was hard. I think, yeah. So about 8 people who had been with us since we launched, basically. A few of them were even part of pre-launch team. We're moving on to, like, literally to places God had called them to. Like, one guy has a beautiful girlfriend in Dallas, and it was like, what, you know, are we going to continue this relationship or not? Another couple, like, left because they missed their church in Tucson so much. It was like, we're not going to say to them, no, you can't go because, like, you want to be a part of the church that you love. Like, you know, so that was hard. People like that. But at the same time, lots of new faces and new exciting stuff. And because it's summer, like, we'll have, like, after church swim day this Sunday, because we're meeting in a school right now and the school has a pool, so we're gonna go, you know, swim after church and have a picnic lunch there, so some fun things like that. I took a long weekend and went to the beach, which isn't much in Texas. Beaches are kind of gross, but it was nice. Laid in a hammock. Read a lot of
hammocks.
Yeah. Spent most of the time in the hammock reading from Scott McKnight's Sermon on the Mount commentary, which is pretty great.
Yeah, I have that. I have not read it yet. I feel weird. There's only one commentary I've ever, like, wanted to read, like, a book, and that was Brueggemann's commentary on Genesis.
Ooh. That sounds fantastic.
But I haven't. I'm waiting for the day that I need to do a series on the Sermon on the Mount. I don't need to. I mean, I should do that anyway. That should be a common thing. But I haven't yet, I should say.
Well, I did it because we're doing a series on the Sermon on the Mount. So I speak once a month, and that was a really interesting experience for me, speaking on the Let Your Yes Be Yes and Your No Be No passage. And if anybody really cares, they can go listen to the podcast. But what I found doing the study was, like, that little passage, like 2 or 3 sentences, has been either explained away or politicized or ignored by the church for 2,000 years. Whether you were, like, in the pocket of the princes and emperors, they tried to say, no, Jesus didn't mean what he said, you know, or the anarchists were all like, yes, Jesus means exactly what he says, down with the empire. And I'm like, you guys have both found a way to interpret Jesus to fit your politics. We need to find out what Jesus is actually getting at. So that was a fascinating study.
That's cool.
Historically. Yeah. Well, hey, man, I wanted to talk about, like, you know, so we just had this idea that we should do, like, a mini episode check-in, because we need to brainstorm what season 2 is going to be all about. And
truth.
It might be fun to kind of record that. And bonus, I just really need somebody to talk to about these 2 DC movie trailers that came out. So I figure I could work through that with you as well.
It's been like 3 weeks.
I know. I've been sitting on it.
Has she been sitting on it for that long? Good grief, man. You have way too much hope. I do not have that kind of hope.
Oh, for DC movies? Oh, yeah. Very low. Very low expectations.
Okay.
Okay, well, let's come back to that so that the people who want to actually listen to a podcast about ministry can.
Oh, okay.
Well, hey, so...
If they want to listen to a podcast about ministry, they're not listening to this podcast.
Sorry, guys. We lied on our iTunes description.
iTunes lied.
Hey,
but we are podcasters.
Yeah, we are podcasters. That makes me laugh so hard. And for the life of me, I don't know if anybody else uses that term. I've never heard it. I can't.
Man,
believe...
we just... The moment someone does, we're going to be like, listen to our podcast, yeah. Or know someone who knew someone who knew someone.
I have two friends that are IP lawyers, and so we will jump on that.
Boom. Royalty.
Podcaster. Well, so, hey, I wanted to hear... I've been thinking about this. I don't want to just drop it on you, but I'd be curious to hear what you think of this. What do you think season one was all about? Like, big picture trajectory of like what we're, because we worked through a lot of things. Like, have you thought about that at all?
No. I think season one for me was all about actually doing it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, and I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, this was not the first podcast I'd ever thought about doing. Mm-hmm. You were not the first person who I'd ever talked to about doing a podcast. You are the first person that I ever actually did a podcast with.
Right, right.
And so it was very crucial for me that we actually pulled this thing off. And we did. And I feel like we succeeded. Yeah. And we talked about ministry. And it was good.
Yeah.
And I feel like we had a pretty good balance of talking about at least our experiences, both good and bad. We lived up to both the tear gas and the gumdrops within our own ministries.
Yeah.
That's my quick off the top of my head answer.
Yeah.
Now, well, you can blow us out of the water.
Here's my, I've been sitting on this for a few days answer.
Of course.
I think like initially where it came from was the, in our very first episode, we had, like, why are we still doing ministry? You know, we spent our first few episodes doing that. And we landed kind of at the end with a couple of episodes speaking to the issues of the nuns and the duns. You guys should go back and listen to each one of those. And then if you look at some of the things in between, I kind of feel like there is a trajectory. They do all kind of... answer that question of like why we think that the church is so important, that we're dedicating our careers to it, and that we desperately want to see people who may not feel like the church is for them, like find a home there. And so like when we're talking about singles, you know, and is there space in the church for unmarried people? It's still kind of the same question, right? And when we're talking about depression, like is there space in the church for people who are depressed, it's still kind of that same, like, you know, why are... I feel like you and I are, like, working through our vocation out loud and kind of, like, trying to get everyone else excited about it, too. Like, hey, this is a lot for us, and we want you to experience it, too. I don't know. What do you think of that?
I think your answer is way better than my answer.
Well, it was unfair of me. I mean, you're right. I think there's a... something to be said. I'm proud of us. We did, what, 16 episodes, stuck with it.
We did. Well, and it is kind of interesting that you point out the opening, like maybe the third podcast was about reasons for leaving the church, and then the last couple of podcasts were about people who had left the church.
Yeah.
I never really, I had not made that connection or thought about that, but that's cool.
Yeah.
Way to go us.
Well, okay. So, part of the reason that I wanted to talk about that is because, like, I want to make sure that we don't just keep rehashing. I want to do a second season, and I want it to be helpful and meaningful to people. I think you do, too. And so I think it's good for us to say, like, what is the ground that we've already tread, but also, like, what is, like, core to this, like, message that we're trying to get out?
Mm. Yeah, and I definitely... I don't want to have Ross and Rachel's... You know what I mean? The same plot line that you right. just keep revisiting and revisiting.
Right.
That is somehow the vehicle by which the overarching story is told.
Right.
Which is really translated to the writers are unoriginal again.
Although it's probably pretty realistic to real life. I mean, don't we, like, have the same relationships and the same fights over and over?
Well, sure, but at some point I would like to think you either get married or you move on, but...
Right. Well,
so maybe not. I don't know.
What do you think, man? What do you think, what do you think we want to carry through to season two, and what do you think we want to, like, do differently?
I think... We will probably not talk about the Duns as much.
Sure.
I'm kind of done talking about
that. Right. Yeah.
That group as a phenomenon. I mean, it's now a reality, so
right.
there's no point in sharing that meta narrative. I think we're going to stop doing that. I think the one thing we'll keep doing is trying to be as applicable and practical as possible.
Mm-hmm.
That we're not, you know, we're not just talking about theories. We're talking about at least stuff that one of us has tried to do in some way, shape, form, or fashion, or
yeah.
have seen other people trying to do.
Yeah.
One thing I would like us to perhaps get more into is the theology behind why we do what we do.
Mm. Okay.
And you know, the, or at least make that connection to the things that you shape the theology that you have. And vice versa.
Yeah.
And really dive into some of the scriptural motivations. More of the why for us,
yeah.
I think, will be important.
I think that's good because I think that sometimes I don't know the why till I've talked about it or written about it. So that would help me a lot. Yeah. Well, man, that's good. I've been thinking about, I don't know about you, but I'm like a podcast fanatic. Like I listen to lots of podcasts, a lot. I'm always excited about a new one that I come across. And I was thinking about like what the podcasts I really love have in common. And I think the ones that are like kind of the higher, you know, upper tier, the ones that really get you. Yeah, you know, like Radio Lab sounds like it was mixed by these amazing DJs or whatever. And we're probably not going to have that. But I think really what they have at the core of those things are really great stories, like specific stories, beginning, middle, and end. So here's an idea I had. Let me throw this out to you. I hope that we can hear from some people, maybe some listeners, some friends, some people that we really respect, that we just seek out. And hear specific stories of their experience in ministry. Like, you know, basically, what's your tear gas story? What was the, like, the most painful moment for you? And what's your gumdrop story? Like, what's that, like, joyful moment that, like, keeps you coming back? Kind of thing. And I think that that can still be practical, like you're talking about. There's a sense
totally.
In which it is actually kind of almost more practical when it gets tangible like that. So that's something I'm kind of, I think it'll be harder. it's easy to wax about theory.
I also want to make a hashtag now. Hashtag, what are your gumdrops?
What are your gumdrops? Done. It is now a thing. Yeah, what do you think of that idea?
Oh, I love the idea. I remember us talking about that a little bit more towards the end of last season. And one of the things that I love about you and I is that we're very team-focused.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not the best networker, but at least I see the value in it.
Sure.
And so being able to kind of open that up to saying, okay, instead of us talking about other people's stories that we've heard, let's actually bring those people in
yeah.
and talk with them.
Yeah.
And learn from them. So that excites me. That excites me also because it's the chance to, you know, maybe listen to some people, meet some people that I didn't know mm-hmm. through your connections or through my connections
yeah.
or whatever. And any chance I get to grow the kingdom. Plus, we have been, you know, teasing the existence of the Paul Cartwright, which makes sense that at some point, you know, we have him either on or we have a Paul Cartwright segment.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite moments, and it, I'm always like, hits me out of the blue, is like, at some point the same day that Paul listens to the podcast for the first time, he texts you and I about, and I know you and Paul talk a lot more than I do, so it always catches me off guard. You're probably like, yeah, whatever. But I'm always like, oh, thanks, man. So, Paul, if you're listening to this, be thinking about your story, your tear gas story or your gumdrop story, and we'll get you on the Skype here soon. Who are some other people, like, blue sky thinking, shooting for the stars? Who would you want to talk to?
Blue sky thinking, who would I talk to?
And it could be just like types of people too, not specific.
Yeah, no. I'm reading a book right now called Unlikely by Kevin Pillao, where he talks about over the last 5 to 7 years, he's been a part of this organization of churches in Portland who get together and minister to the area and kind of their success stories.
Yeah.
And it would be really fun to talk with him more about the ideas that he shares in the book, and just kind of thinking through practical ways of doing that, particularly in light of our context where, you know, he's connecting with mega churches and churches of, you know, huge financial resources, and like, well, okay, so what are some, so I'm struggling with, like, so what are the practical take homes for a smaller church?
Yeah.
Which he addresses in the book, a little bit. So that would be fun to just kind of pick his brain on that.
Yeah.
It'd be really cool to talk with, like, people who are in the community and who are helping churches connect to the community. Those are people that I'm really interested in. Yeah. And, you know, people who are working with or trying to work with the Duns, the
but
young adults.
Talk about
you know.
We're not going to talk about them.
Well, you know, well, this is not the season yet.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to need to change their name to The Finished. The Finished. You know, people who are in the, who are in the muck and the mire and listening to their stories. You know, it'd be great to talk to Natalie, what's her name?
Imbruglia, lying naked on the floor.
That was a weird line. No, the girl who wrote Pastrix. Pastrix was a great
book. Nadia. Yeah, in Denver.
Nadia.
You know, she and you and I have a similar faith background.
We do. Which makes me hopeful that we could do. And you know what would be really interesting? I would like to talk to non-white theologians.
Ooh.
Just because I don't know a lot. Not to sound racist or anything, but I'm just... I think all of the theologians that I read are, you know, white men. And Ken Palau is Latino, so that's helpful.
Yeah.
If we could get... If John Perkins is even still alive,
I know somebody who knows somebody.
I would really enjoy listening to him, and you know, yeah. So I think we turn this into like you know, who are the people that I would just like to read and talk with,
right?
And they would all be, you know, multi-ethnic women theologians. Just for a different perspective. Also, I would like to stop using the phrase you know, because I feel like I use that a lot during last season. It's become my just or my
or like.
Yeah.
Mine's that's good. I think it'd be kind of fun to talk to a few listeners, if we have any out there who want to talk. I would love to have our listeners pitch people that stories that they'd like to hear, if they could maybe, like, if you know someone who just, like, really changed your life through their ministry, it'd be cool to hear from that person. I would like to hear from, well, you know, I probably have a friend of mine, maybe some other podcasters who can give us some tips and tricks about continuing to grow and make this helpful. I think of my buddy Shane Blackshear that does the Sermonary Dropout podcast, and he just had his like 100-some-odd episode, and he's been on this streak where he had like N.T. Wright and Rachel Held Evans and Rob Bell like back to back in like 3 episodes. So he's really like reaching a really broad, but then he'll turn around and he'll have Scott McKnight and then some mommy blogger the next day. He's doing a really good job of getting a lot of different types of voices. So I'd like to hear from him about what some of the pain and joys of kind of trying to figure out this digital ministry thing is all about. I'd like to hear from some other church planners, because that's the world that I live in. What you said about people who are really connecting with the community, like, that's been a lot harder than I expected it to be. You know, when I was in seminary and writing papers, I'd always write things about, like, will your neighborhood miss you if your church disappeared tomorrow? And I still believe that. I still think that's a really indicting question we need to ask. But, man, I just got, like, just the basics to get the people we have in each other's lives is hard enough. So I think that's a great idea, talking to people like that. I'd love to hear from people who are trying to discern if they're going to go into ministry. And maybe also like some people who have changed their approach. You know, people who were doing house church and now they're on staff at a mega church. I don't know if that exists, but if you're listening to this and you were leading house churches and you left that to like work at Willow Creek or something like that, I want to talk to you.
Or vice versa.
Speaking of, you remember a guy by the name of Ryan Kaczmarek?
I do, yes.
He's a pastor at Willow Creek now.
What?
So we had lunch in Chicago a few weeks ago.
You are kidding me.
I am not kidding. He's helping them like kind of reboot a small groups-led ministry to help people get their finances under control and really, you know, worship God and not mammon. And he's been all over the block with that, and that would be a really cool story to get on here.
Yeah,
I know we had a few listeners who really perked up with our episode about singles. So I would love to maybe talk to some people who are doing singles ministry and what's working and what's not. You know what I would really like. This is like way outside of our box. I'd like to get a Catholic on here. I'd like to talk to some Jesuits, because I read a book about Jesuits this summer, and I'm kind of obsessed with that whole approach to spirituality. So if we have any Catholic listeners who know a great Jesuit that we could talk to, like a spiritual director person there, I think that'd be super cool.
I have a friend who is writing a thesis. Speaking of past episodes, she's writing a thesis on church and mental illness. I would love to get her on when she gets further along in her thesis writing.
Neat.
That would be fun.
Yeah, I think we got a few ideas to work with here.
I think so.
Yeah,
I would also like to see us perhaps come in a little bit more prepared, so that our podcasts are maybe 45 minutes.
Right.
You know, because one thing that I like is our conversational tone, but sometimes as we're talking that out, we're searching for those answers.
We're trying to figure out what we're process, talking about.
Exactly. Maybe that process is what makes our podcast so wonderful and lovable. but also maybe that podcast, that style makes us a little bit efficient with our time and to our listeners.
And hopefully, we don't want to like sacrifice someone's attention by you and I trying to be funny, which is maybe not you, but at least me trying to be funny.
I think I end up being more mean than funny.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. What else? Is there anything else you would add?
No, I think I'm good.
Yeah.
I mean, That's it. I mean, we probably want to get back into... I actually have a list.
Oh, yeah.
I have a list. Let's see if we covered everything that I wrote on the list.
Is it the Thoctopus?
No, it's just... Oh, spiritual disciplines.
Ooh.
And book reviews.
Yeah.
We talked... I wrote... Okay, so four things. Discussing biblical passages as they relate to mystiology, which we talked about. Interviewing friends once a month, we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual disciplines. Oh, and book reviews.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Have you read anything good this summer?
Yeah, I have. I've read some good stuff. I'm reading like two new books at the same time, which is annoying. I'm reading that Palau book and I'm reading an N.T. Wright book. So
nice.
Going back and forth between like super high theology, which is really something that he already talked about in a third book that I read, you know, a while back, that he's still rehashing in new ways, and more practical stuff. Being balanced.
Nice. Well, cool. Well, that's good. We'll have an offline conversation where we put some of these things on a calendar.
Yes, good call.
So what did you think of both of the trailers?
You cannot see his face right now, but when he said that, like, if you've ever known Chris Martin, when he smiles, his eyes get, like, super squinty, and his mouth just gets, like, bigger than his head. He literally becomes, like, an anime cartoon. And he was in full anime mode there. So I feel bad that I'm not as excited for this discussion as Chris is. I don't actually think I watched the Suicide Squad trailer, unfortunately. Not to deflate you. But the Superman one, I really liked it. I like Lex Luthor having hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed
it's gonna be gone by the end of the movie. I think it's a wig.
Oh sure, totally. Yeah, totally. They're not gonna destroy that, but I loved the comic book that movie is based off of.
Dark Knight, right? Returns.
Yeah, that was such a really fantastic work. And I appreciate Batman being older Batman. I love older Batman and kind of like how does his Batmaning affect his psyche?
Yeah.
And affect Bruce Wayne.
Yeah. You know, that was like the first comic book I ever read. Like my parents left me at a library when I was like 9 years old one afternoon. And I was like, Batman? yeah, it was like for a free babysitter. This is how I remember it. It might not be quite this way, but yeah. And so my only experience up until that point had been like Adam West, Boom Pow, Batman. And I like pulled that off the shelf. I'm like, why is this half-naked fem-Nazi shooting at Batman? I don't understand. And I've been reading comics ever since. Like, can Superman be trusted? And even the title, mm-hmm. Batman v Superman, it's V, not versus. So V as in like a court case. And there's like a court indictment scene in the trailer. And so the whole thing is about like, you know, this crazy, super powerful creature. Can he be trusted? Then you watch the Suicide Squad trailer. And it's all about how the government, if anyone's familiar with Suicide Squad, the basic idea is like the government takes the world's worst criminals and plants bombs inside their brains. And if they disobey the rule of what's her name, Amanda Waller, she blows their heads off with a remote control. And it's the two of them coming out at the same time just kind of like really had my mind reeling of like, we're at a place in the culture where the Joker is more of a hero than Superman.
Yeah. That is a podcast in and of itself, isn't it?
We can't trust the Boy Scout anymore. And we're so desperate for like a power move that we'll basically sell our soul to the devil. And in the end, you know, it also kind of had this kind of anarchist or maybe even libertarian bent that in the end, the real bad guy was the government out of all of them. So, anyway, I have very low expectations. I have a feeling that Ant-Man is a much, much better movie than both of them. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, you haven't? Paul, okay, then we won't talk about it.
Is it worth $8, $9?
Oh, yeah. I loved it. I thought it was really good. I'm also excited for Deadpool.
Yeah, I haven't watched the trailer yet. It came out today.
Yeah. I think I'm more just excited because the idea has been floating out there for like 5 years. Yeah. So it actually coming to fruition. And there's a line in the trailer where Ryan Reynolds' character basically makes fun of Ryan Reynolds being Green Lantern. It's really well done. And it fits within the Deadpool breaking the fourth wall. Yeah. Kind of thing. So it worked out really well.
Maybe that'll be, yeah. Oh, let's be Facebook friends. If we're not Facebook friends, let's be Facebook friends because I've started this thing. You may find this annoying. Some people love it and some people find it annoying, but I'm doing like a daily survey question every day on Facebook. And it's been fascinating to get people's interaction on it. Been questions like, you know, what was the worst movie you've ever seen? What are you really good at cooking? What three vegetables would you take with you to a desert island? Things like that. So we should be Facebook friends and ask each other questions.
We are Facebook friends, and sometimes I respond to that. And I enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, I feel like this has been productive. It's good to see your face, as pixelated as it
is. It's good to see your face. Yes. Even pixelated anime, Chris.
That's my anime voice.
Great.
That's my anime attack noise.
Yeah. Way to go, Wu Kang, from whatever that one.
The thing with the stuff.
The thing with the, you know, the battle game thing.
All right, man. Well, I'm going to press the stop button here.